This is the Four Quarters Podcast, your home court for college hoops and recruiting.
Welcome to another edition of the Four Quarters Podcast. I'm Adam Zagoria from ZagsBlog.com, live from New York City, where I am welcomed by my close friend and co-host Josh Newman. Josh, what brings you into the studio today, my friend?
Had some business to handle in and around the Midtown area. Just be glad that I'm gracing you with my presence today.
Oh my God, this is a true honor, folks, to have Josh in the studio sitting next to me with his headphones on. It's exciting stuff. All right, we've now made it easier for you to listen to all of SNY.TV's original podcasts. If you're a fan of the Mets, Jets, Knicks, Rangers, Islanders, or college basketball and recruiting, just subscribe to the SNY.TV audio network on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcasts. That's the SNY.TV audio network. And please make sure to rate and review the channel. Okay, Josh and I have a big show for you guys today. We're going to have Kenny Anderson, former NBA great, coming on to talk about the passing of the legendary Dwayne Pearl Washington. We're also going to have Andy Borman of the New York Wrens talking about Hamidou Diallo, Jordan Tucker, and his guys. Then Josh and I will get into the Jordan game storylines and some college hoops. In the first quarter, we're going to have Kenny Anderson. Kenny, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Adam and Josh. Appreciate you.
Obviously, it's a sad day here as Pearl Washington passed away. You know, obviously a legendary New York City guard from Syracuse. Tell us some of your recollections of Pearl, and you know, how much did you look up to him as a young guard?
Well, I looked up to, you know, Pearl was that guy, man. I like to call he's a point guard. You know what I mean? And I'm doing my documentary, being arguably the top guard that ever came out of New York. Those guys before me, I'm really, you know, honored and bigging them up, you know, Pearl Washington, Kenny Smith, Mark Jackson, Rod Strickland, Boo Harvey, Kenny Patterson, Kenny Hutchinson. Those guards, those New York guards, I wanted to be like them. I wanted to take a little bit of their game and put it in my game. And not only their game, but they swag, man. They swag. I watched those guys in summer league, in high, I watched tapes, you know, on them guys. But Pearl was the guy. He was the guy.
Now, Kenny, I know. I guess you picked Georgia Tech over Carolina, Duke, and Syracuse. Obviously, Pearl played in the Big East. How much pressure was on you, or how much did you consider being a New York City guy and staying in the Big East?
I was close. Due to the fact that Pearl was there, they was high on my list. They was the school. That's where I wanted to go. But my mother said no. My mother wanted me to go to Georgia Tech, and that's where I went. You know, I talk about it. I go deeper into it in my documentary, Mr. Chibs. But I wanted to go to Syracuse. But my mother wanted me to go to Georgia Tech.
Yeah, that's interesting, because there was a documentary on ESPN the other day about Bobby Hurley. I don't know if you saw that, but he wanted to go to Seton Hall. He said, I think actually he also wanted to go to Syracuse, and his mother, Chris Hurley, wanted him to go to Duke, so we ended up going there. But anyway, getting back to Pearl, when's the last time you spoke to him or had any contact with Pearl, Kenny?
About last year. He's on my documentary. He spoke, and I was just in awe. I was honored to talk to him, and then when I walked away, I was smiling, man. I just thought he was just a great guy, and just, you know, being in New York, if you're not from New York, you know, and you don't understand a New York City point guard, you just wouldn't understand it. So you wouldn't understand it. You know, we you know, born and raised in the playgrounds, man, the blacktop. You watch all these great guards. You know, I appreciate his game. You know what I mean? And it just not only the game. I keep saying it's the swag. You know, you want that you wanted that swag, man.
Kenny,
just
was
the
there
attitude and everything he played with.
Kenny, was there any one aspect of Pearl's game that you really tried to emulate or copy into your game, or any play that sticks out for you that, you know, you really remember?
Well, I remember, you know, there was that big Syracuse Georgetown game when I guess the defensive stopper they had, so-called, had at Georgetown. It was one of the games. I think Pearl just lit them up. And they were saying all week that, you know, they were going to lock Pearl up. And he lit the garden up. I think that was the shot he won the game on the buzzer and ran off the court.
Yeah.
It was just crazy. That's just New York for you, man. It just was like his whole flair, the way he played the game. And, you know, it just was awesome.
And Kenny, can you tell us a little more about this documentary that you've been working on? What is it really all about? When is the release date, and where can people access it?
Well, you know, you can, first of all, you can go to my website, MrChibs.com. You can look, you know, look on, check some of it out. Jill Campbell is my director, who did a hell of a job. She shadowed me for three years. And, you know, just all, you know, being a child prodigy at 10 years old, just all the stuff I had to go through, you know, all the obstacles I had to overcome. You know, being a New York City legend and being a four-time all-city basketball player myself, and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, that's the only two that did it. So that's, you know, I talk about each level, you know, high school. Well, first playground, high school, college, pros, just my whole life, man. And the open book, you know what I mean? I wanted to do it so I could, you know, give the message to some of these other youth that's growing up. If they had some type of potential, you know how to use it, not only in basketball, but in life. And the slogan of my documentary is basketball is easy, life is hard. So, you know, and the good thing about my documentary is, like, the ending, it's not a, it's no ending. It's just, I'm still trying to figure it out. You know, I'm still trying to put all everything together. So it's just it's a good documentary for the youth and also the adults to just see somebody with a lot of potential and how he used it.
We would be remiss if we did not mention New York City's two pro basketball teams. You yourself, you were the number two overall pick in 1991 to the New Jersey Nets. Obviously, you know, times are not good right now for the Knicks and the Nets. Just how dire is it, and just what has to happen for these two franchises to kind of turn it around here?
I don't know. It's going to hurt. And then the Nets, it's some years apart, but they brought in Bark from San Antonio. I think he get a great high in Kenny Atkinson. That's going to take some time. I don't think no pressure is on them to turn this thing around with the draft choices, that the trade they got, you know, with the Paul Pierce and bringing in Kevin Garnett and all of them. They lose all their draft choices. You know, they got to give them to Boston. So that's going to hurt, man.
Right.
So, you know, they're in trouble for some years. But, you know, the Knicks, on the other hand, you know, I'm not sure where they go. They're looking for coaches. There's some great coaches out there, but they trying to find a Phil Jackson guy, and they still trying to rely on this this triangle. And I don't know where they're going, but, you know, I'll give more love to the Nets because I'm an ex-Net. But I'm a true New Yorker, so I want to see the Knicks do well, but I'm not sure about them because they stuck on this, you know, Phil Jackson is going to turn this program, the Knicks, around. And I'm not sure if he could do that with the roster, number one, and two, the system he's trying to run. I just don't get it.
Hey, Kenny, this is Adam again. Let me just follow up on that. You know, there's a lot of talk about, are players in the NBA, you know, interested in playing in the triangle? Does it scare them off? If you were a player in the NBA today, would you be attracted to coming to play in the triangle, or would you say, what is this system? I don't really want to play in it.
You know, first of all, you don't need a point guard. You don't need a true point guard. I know the triangle back and forth because he started it every time we played the Chicago Bulls. You don't need a true point guard to have, you know, the triangle. I wouldn't be, you know, up for it, but I'm going back home. You know, if I'm from New York, my mother wanted me to be a Knicks, but it didn't happen. But if I'm going back, I would definitely give it a shot if they would recruit me. I'm going back home to my home team. But, you know, saying that, I don't know about point guard going to that system. You know what I mean? I just feel if you don't have the talent to play that triangle, you should just look at your roster and put in a system that's going to help the players. Your coaches, if you're a good coach, you put guys in situations so they can be successful. And I don't think by just leaning on the triangle, it's getting you don't have the roster, the players to do that triangle.
Yeah, I mean, Kenny, one thing that's obvious to everyone is they need better guard play. I mean, whether you're playing the triangle or not, you know, their front court has been out pretty solid with Carmelo and Porzingis and Lopez, but they have to get a point guard. And they have to get better guards.
Yeah, they do. You know, I know they was going after. I like to see. I think Teague has another year. They were thinking about Jeff Teague for Atlanta, but I think he has another year. You gotta look and see what's out there. But I think they hold. You know, Melo is the window is closing on him. You know, I don't know where they option. I think the first thing, they got to find a coach. And I know they have some great ones. I would like to see Tibbs, you know, become the Knicks coach. But that's not going to happen because he's not a Phil Jackson guy.
Yeah.
But that's the guy for the job. He will turn that program around. But you know, I don't understand it. It's a lot of politics that comes involved when you're dealing with the NBA.
Yeah. All right, Kenny, listen, we really appreciate your time. Everybody should check out his documentary, Mr. Chibs, CHIBBS.com. And look forward to that coming out. We appreciate your time, Kenny.
Yo, thank you. Thank you.
All right, Josh, a lot of interesting stuff there from Kenny Anderson. Obviously, everyone's reflecting on the passing of Pearl Washington, a legendary point guard, and Kenny Anderson certainly in the same category in New York City point guards, and he talked about how he looked up to Dwayne.
Yeah, I was a little too young to really understand how good Pearl Washington was, but I was a kid when Kenny Anderson was coming up. I remember, you know, the night he was drafted, I was 9 or 10 years old. Kenny Anderson was a special, special player for the, you know, for the younger guys that don't really understand.
Yeah, I am not too young. I am old enough to remember Pearl Washington, and he was, you know, very special, very fun, electric to watch. And certainly, you know, along with maybe Chris Mullin and Patrick Ewing, the greatest Big East players of all time. So it's good to have Kenny's thoughts. All right, we're going to move on now to the second quarter and talk to our friend Andy Borman. He's the coach of the New York Wrens on the Nike EYBL circuit. Andy, welcome to the show.
How's it going, boys?
It's going great. I saw you this weekend. Your team looks loaded. Andy, let's talk about, first of all, you guys were on the Adidas circuit last year. You moved to the Nike circuit this year, and your first event is at the Brooklyn Cruise Terminal. You know, kind of a wild setup up there with four courts out there, you know, at the Cruise Terminal. What's it like being on the Nike circuit, and what did you think of the setup out there?
The Nike circuit's terrific. I actually was reading last night, this past weekend, 21 of the top 25 players in the country were at the Nike circuit. And if you make it even bigger than that, 42 of the top 50 kids in the country were all playing EYBL this weekend. So when you say best of the best, this past weekend was certainly it. And then when it comes to the Brooklyn Cruise Terminal, I mean, it's ridiculous. Those guys went into Brooklyn, found a site where, you know, when you're outside, you're staring at the Manhattan skyline and you're staring at the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah.
I'm kicking myself for not taking a team picture out there.
You should have come. You should have come with me. I was taking pictures of me and Shaheen and people out there. I would have taken your picture.
And then when you're inside, they bring in their own courts and they turn a warehouse into a first-class basketball site. So everything's terrific.
Yeah, it was something. I think the food situation left a little bit desired, but the whole situation was great. You mentioned all the top players, and all you had to do was look around at the coaches to know that the top talent was there. I mean, with your game for the Cardinals on Sunday, I think pretty much every major coach, except for Coach K, who's, I guess, got a knee situation, and Coach Pitino, who was not out in April, was there. And, you know, my joke was if the Brooklyn Cruise Terminal floated off into the Atlantic Ocean on Sunday, they'd have to stop college hoops because everybody was there for watching the game.
Yeah, they really would. I don't know what would happen. it was crazy.
Let's talk about a couple of your guys. Obviously, Hamidou Diallo, Andy, one of the big stars of the weekend, an explosive 6'6" guard, picked up a Duke offer yesterday with Coach K on FaceTime. Coach Calipari is going to be in there today. I'll be surprised if he doesn't get a Kentucky offer. Just tell us a little bit about Hamidou and who's kind of working the hardest on him and what's his skill set.
Oh, man, Hamidou's terrific. You know, like I put a lot of time in getting to know him over the course of the last 9 months, you know, obviously hoping that he would choose to play for the Wrens. And I knew he was great. I knew he was talented, and I knew he was a terrific kid. And he's exceeded everything. He is 6'6". He's the most naturally athletic kid in the country, and definitely for 2017 and maybe just across the board. He can guard multiple positions. He can put his head on the rim anytime he wants. He's a quick jumper. I think the best thing about Hamidou is that he wants to be the best. And so he knows that there are areas to work on. He's he's not shy about saying what they are. You know, and there's no ego. It's just a humble kid with a desire to be great. As far as his recruiting, you know, I'm just now starting to get involved. I mean, this kid has been recruited by a lot of people for a long time. You know, so there are relationships that existed, you know, that predated Hamidou ever playing for me. But when it comes to him, the thing I would say is he can play anywhere and he can play for anyone, which is about as good of a compliment as you can give a kid. You know, I don't care what style you run. I don't care if you're a player's coach or you're, you know, a tough guy. He can play for anybody. He can play in any system. He'll be fine.
Just give us an idea real quick. How many text messages and phone calls have you gotten since Sunday, I guess, on him?
On Hamidou?
Yeah.
Too many. enough that, you know, and it stretches to all of our kids. But enough that, you know, my wife is like ready to throw my phone into the Hudson.
Looking more locally, Jordan Tucker is probably more of a known commodity, at least around here, just given where he plays high school. He goes to Archbishop Stepanak over in White Plains. What is the latest right now with his recruitment and just who is working the hardest right now, Andy?
You know, it's kind of the same answer, because this is Jordan's first year with us as well. You know, I know he's on a lot of people's radar. I know that he picked up an Oklahoma State offer almost immediately after the event ended.
Right.
I've heard from, and I'm going to leave people out, but I've heard from, you know, Texas, Villanova, UConn, Syracuse, Indiana.
So it's fair to say that it's still pretty fluid?
Oh, yeah, he's wide open. Oh, look, every single one of our kids is wide open right now.
Fair enough.
And I'm not saying that to, like, they have been perfectly clear. There are no leans. There are no favorites. They just finished the first of five live periods. They want to be recruited. They are wide open.
And if I could just touch on just one other kid of yours, Jordan Nwara, he's a 6'8 wing going to the Park School up in Buffalo. For people, at least down here, that are unfamiliar with him, just what is his skill set and who's kind of working the hardest right now on him, Andy?
You know what? His skill set is that he's a legit 6'8. He can shoot the living hell out of the ball. And that he's just now starting to scratch the surface of who he is as a player. You know, he's completely changed his body since last year. I think, you know, for him, you know, high majors galore have been calling, and he's been picking up offers left and right. I think that by the end of this AAU season, he will be a nationally ranked, you know, 30 to 40 high major offer type of kid. Because his IQ is through the roof, and he can do one thing that nowadays is very rare. He can shoot the living hell out of the ball. And he's got size. So he's a little under the radar, but not much longer.
Hey, Andy, it's Adam again. Just let's talk about guys from some other teams real quick. Obviously, two huge, you know, big guys, DeAndre Ayton, a 7-footer from Cal Supreme, and Muhammad Bamba, 6'11". From PSA Cardinals, who you guys played. You know, it looks to me like these guys could both be in the 2018 NBA draft with their skill set. And also Marvin Bagley, a 2018 kid. Who stood out the most to you of these guys? And, you know, do you see them as future NBA players?
I mean, obviously, aside from, you know, my guys, I thought Bamba was incredible. I thought Muhammad Bamba was incredible. He does everything, and he makes it look easy.
Yeah.
He was the one, and no offense to anyone else, but he was the one that really, you know, he was the one that really kind of made everything. For me as a coach, I go, good God, I'd love to coach that kid. and he's a competitor, and he's the kid that, like, is going to try to beat you on the court and then shake your hand and you know, he's just the best. So, in my opinion, lights out. I haven't spent as much time watching Ayton and Bagley, but I got to go with my hometown guy, Bamba.
Yeah, he's a very impressive kid. I put him on my all-interview team. He's just very charismatic, smart, thoughtful. You know, it's no surprise to me that the Harvards and the Dukes of the world are coming after him. But, you know, all in all, the whole weekend was really interesting and exciting, and we look forward to talking to you throughout the summer, Andy, and good luck on the rest of the Nike EYBL circuit.
Yeah, anytime.
All right, Josh, Andy Borman, a good friend of the Four Quarters podcast, you know, great coach. You know, it's interesting because last year he had Wally Alkins and Mustafa Heron on the Adidas circuit. Now he's coaching Hamidou and Jordan Tucker and these guys. So he knows how to recruit and he knows how to coach them up.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot more interesting now. As he alluded to, there's way more ranked kids on the EYBL circuit. So maybe the Wrens, not that they weren't getting a lot of play nationally on the Adidas circuit, they're just about to get a lot more now on the Nike circuit.
Yeah, it'll be fun, and hopefully we'll be reporting on them all summer, and especially from the Peach Jam. All right, let's move on now to the third quarter. Josh and I are going to talk about the Jordan game storylines. We were both all over the practices and the games last week. So the national game, we'll start with that, Josh. The Kentucky guys both got the MVP awards. De'Aaron Fox went for 23 and 5 rebounds for the East in a 131-117 win. Malik Monk comes up with 22, 5, and 3 assists in the loss. Both guys met Carmelo, get their awards from Carmelo. They met Michael Jordan, and they're also featured in this documentary called Kentucky Reloaded, which I posted on Zag's blog, which is done by Edgar Burgos, where he did a nice job. Did we learn anything from this game and from these guys?
I feel like we learned not only at the game on Friday, but also at the practice at the Nets facility on Wednesday, that Fox and Monk and Bam Adebayo and Wenyen Gabriel, they really seem to have a good rapport already. You know, they haven't gotten to campus, but, you know, they've spent a lot of time on the All-Star circuit, at the McDonald's game. Some of them were at the Nike Hoop Summit. Then they came this way for the Jordan Brand Classic. You know, they were joking around. They seem to have a really good relationship already. And as they get set to move to Kentucky in early June, it seems like that they're already getting along, and that can't do anything but help, you know, the main cause, which is winning games.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, the Kentucky beat writers and fans should really be excited. You know, I put De'Aaron Fox and Bam Adebayo on my all-interview team. They're all interesting kids. You know, Bam is a guy who plays with a smile on his face, joking around a lot. De'Aaron Fox missed a shot, and Bam told him, you can't shoot. So he likes to have a little fun with them. And, you know, I think it's only going to help them going forward that they've had this time to bond.
For sure. Looking back at the regional game, Shamori Ponds.
Well, that was the national game he played in.
Excuse me, I'm sorry, the national game. We're staying with the national game. Shamori Ponds, Thomas Jefferson Sr., off to St. John's, scored 15 of his 17 in the second half. Really, really looked good. What did you think of Shamori on Friday night, Adam?
Yeah, he started out a little slow. He only had 2 points in the first half, as you said. And then he comes out with 15 of his 17 in the second half. So I think that, you know, if you're a St. John's fan or Chris Mullen, you should be excited. He's on the biggest stage with the best players, guys going to Kentucky and Duke and all the top programs. And Shamori Ponds showed that he belonged. You know, he's not a Nike kid, so they got him in the game anyway, which I think is good. And, you know, he'll join Richard Freudenberg and Bashir Ahmed next year at St. John's with the other kids they have coming back. You know, Marcus Levet and Malik Ellison and Federico Massini and those guys. So I think there's some really nice building blocks at St. John's. And, of course, they just added the transfer Marvin Clark from Michigan State today. He's going to have to sit out next season. But, you know, it's a positive sign for St. John's. Josh, we also saw the international game. R.J. Barrett was expected to be the star in this game. 6'6", 6'7", rising sophomore wing from Canada who plays at Montverde. He's going to team up with, it looks like, Andrew Nembhard, an incoming freshman point guard, and Simi Chitu, a 6'9", 2018 forward. So we saw a lot of the Canadian guys this weekend. What was your takeaway?
I think all three of those kids are really special. R.J. Barrett is, you know, it seems to me, you know, this wave the last 4 or 5 years of the talent coming out of Canada, coming out of Ontario, and R.J. Barrett seems to be at the head of the line in terms of young Canadian kids coming to the United States to play their basketball. Simi Chitu, you know, as you said, a big 6'8 forward, a physical kid, long, athletic, still growing. Andrew Nembhard, depending on who you ask, some think that he may be the best out of the three when it's all said and done. So I think the takeaway there is that Kevin Boyle has a really good thing going with this pipeline from Ontario down to Florida.
And it's funny because we all know, I mean, RJ Barrett looks like he could play anywhere he wants.
No doubt.
Just like Andy had said about Hamidou Diallo. But when we asked him about recruiting, he said what?
He said, ask my father. And for the people that don't know, Rowan Barrett, who was the original Canadian sensation back in the 90s, played for St. John's, is now one of the head guys with Canada basketball, is RJ Barrett's father. So at the very minimum, RJ Barrett is coming from some good genes.
Yeah, so, you know, I think it's good. The kid doesn't have to worry about recruiting. I mean, eventually he will. He's only a sophomore, but he'll be able to go wherever he wants.
Now we're going to go back to the regional game. Now
yes.
That I'm on track here. Torian Thompson, 27-13 in the regional game, won the MVP award, visiting UConn. You've covered Thompson pretty extensively. What's the latest right now?
Well, I mean, he looked very impressive in that game. I mean, it's an all-star game. Obviously, not a lot of defense is played, but he was pretty dominant in the paint, 27-13. He was taking an official visit to Connecticut Monday and Tuesday, along with our guy Christian Vitale, former UNLV commit. So they were up there together. Christian told me he liked it. I haven't spoken to Torian yet. Torian listed UConn, Georgetown, Syracuse, Seton Hall, and Providence. So it looks like he's going to stay, you know, relatively local, and whichever one of those schools gets him is going to get a late addition of, you know, a really talented 6'10 guy. I think he's got a big ceiling. We should also point out that Hofstra-bound guard Elijah Pemberton was the co-MVP in that game. He had 22-5. He's going to play for Joe Mihalik and our guys out at Hofstra, so that's a really nice get for them. You know, we talked a lot about the sneaker wars, Josh, last couple weeks, and I think we've already answered this question with Andy Borman, but who won the sneaker wars?
I mean, look, I don't think there's any doubt that Nike won the sneaker war. So, you know, as I've said on this podcast a few times, I feel like Nike and Jordan Brand, they found a nice landing spot, a nice home, putting the Jordan Brand Classic in Brooklyn. You know, the last two or three years, there's just a week's worth of buzz leading up to the game. Then you get to the game, and it doesn't disappoint. Now, Under Armour wisely brought their first tour stop to Pier 36 and Basketball City, which is a major, you know, basketball facility in the city. So what does Nike do? They have the Jordan Brand Classic on a Friday night. They turn right around. They find a spot at the Brooklyn Cruise Terminal, plop down the first EYBL stop at what turned out to be a great spot, and they got most of the attention. Not to say that Under Armour didn't, but I'd say that Nike got the lion's share of the pub.
Yeah,
this
I mean, you could just tell by all the coaches that were out there and the top players that, you know, Nike dominated that. But it's great that Under Armour also came to the city. All right, let's move on now to the fourth quarter. Josh and I'll wrap it up with some college storylines. You know, the big story, I think, in the transfer market is still Derek Thornton. Left Duke. This week he met with Bill Self and Jarence Howard. I'm told he also met with Jim Larrañaga from Miami. I think USC is also involved there. So, you know, it's going to be something if this kid goes from Duke to a Kentucky or, I mean, sorry, to Kansas or to Miami, which is also in the ACC.
I feel like Derek Thornton, you know, among the 500 or 600, you know, nationwide transfers available, I think Derek Thornton's probably the number one guy available. No shock that he'll land at some high major spot. Were people expecting Kansas to get in the mix? Maybe not. But, you know, despite what went on this season, he's young. Remember, you know, Duke had him reclassify, moved him up a year. So the kid's young, and he has three to play. So it's really no shock that he's going to land at Kansas, Miami, some high major spot in the end. Earlier this week, Malachi Richardson, freshman from Syracuse, former Trenton Catholic, Roselle Catholic star, will test the NBA draft waters, will not hire an agent. You also talked to Jim Boeheim one-on-one over the weekend at the EYBL stop. What's the word right now out of Syracuse?
Yeah, it's funny because I spoke to Jim on Sunday one-on-one and I asked him, is Malachi going to test the waters? And he just kind of shrugged his shoulders and gave me the Jim Boeheim sort of smirk. You know, I asked him a couple of times and he just sort of smirked. And then, of course, the day after that, Malachi declares. So, you know, he'll be able to test the waters. The key question is whether he gets invited to the combine, 65 or 70 guys. He played great in the postseason. If he doesn't get invited, he should just go back to school, and then Syracuse will really be loaded next year when they add Tyus Battle and Matthew Moyer also.
Would you think that with Richardson testing the waters, should Tyler Lydon follow suit, not hire an agent, and just get the correct information? Kid had a pretty good year.
I guess everybody should. I mean, we did a story on him earlier in the year. I think he's more of a 2017 guy, but it's going to be really interesting when that combine list come out, I'll tell you that. Also, St. John's, there's been some movement. Marvin Clark, forward from Michigan State, committed today, signed. He's got to sit a year, then he'll be eligible a year after that. I talked to Marvin on text today. He said he had a good bond with Justin Simon, the Arizona transfer, and he would like Justin to join him. I think St. John's is optimistic they'll get both, but no word yet, as of yet, on Justin Simon. And they're in the mix with some other guys, Kostas Atenakumpo, the younger brother of the two Greek freaks. So St. John's trying to add some guys to with experience to lead their younger guys.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of hope out on the horizon now. You had this first year with Chris Mullin. Everybody knew that it would be a struggle with a lot of young kids, but now you're bringing in a Bashir Ahmed who can help immediately. Richard Freudenberg.
Shamori.
Now this Marvin Clark signing, he has to sit, but you know, there's a lot of things happening, and if the fan base can stay a little patient here, they may get a big payoff down the road. Things are really starting to happen now at Rutgers. They added Brandon Knight to the coaching staff. The entire coaching staff yesterday, coming off the live period, the entire coaching staff, they were four deep at St. Patrick's. They were four deep at Roselle Catholic. What's going on right now at Rutgers, Adam?
Well, I wrote about this yesterday, and I don't want to say these guys are taking my playbook, but I have said all along that this is exactly what the Rutgers coaching staff needs to do, and lo and behold, you know, they're doing it. I'm not taking full credit for it.
You're going to take some credit,
taking a little credit for it. But look, the expectations were low after Eddie Jordan. You know, I wrote a number of stories this year. These guys just, you know, they didn't see Eddie in the gyms. They didn't see them out. You know, I think DeLeap was out working hard. But Steve Peichel hires Brandon Knight. I guess it became official Monday. And then yesterday they go in there four deep in their Rutgers sweatsuits to Roselle Catholic and St. Pat's, both of which are loaded with young talent. And that's exactly what they should have been doing. Chris Chavanis told me it was a nice change of pace from the previous Rutgers staff. So, you know, plus they already have a Roselle Catholic kid in Matt Bullock. Steve Peichel did. So, you know, they're doing a great job, and they got to just keep that up and keep building.
It should really tell you something about the state of that program, where people are making a big deal about the coaching staff showing up at two state powers, which is what the prior regime should have been doing. So I think it says something that is news.
That's right. All right, we're done for the day. Remember to check out zagsblog.com for stories on Hamidou Diallo, Kevin Knox, Mohamed Bamba, and the latest on the guys eligible for the NBA draft. Once again, there's a new way for you to listen to all of SNY.TV's original podcasts. If you're a fan of the Mets, Jets, Knicks, Rangers, Islanders, or college basketball and recruiting, just subscribe to the SNY.TV audio network on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcasts. That's the SNY.TV audio network. And please make sure to rate and review the channel. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Adam Zagoria and at Joshua_Newman. Thanks for listening and subscribing. We are out.
This has been the Four Quarters Podcast, part of the SNY.TV Podcast Network.